All right, well, in part one of our panel discussion, we talked about what publicity rights are and how they are recognized or not recognized here in Korea. In part two, we're going to be joined by two legal experts from abroad. They're going to tell us their own involvement in publicity rights cases and what we can do to protect publicity rights. Always remember, you can give us your thoughts. Text us to your mobile phone at #1013 for 51. Call us at 02-778-1013 or send us a KakaoTalk message by adding TBS EFM as a plus friend. Joining us first is Jonathan Faber. He's the founder and managing partner and general counsel at Luminary Group, LLC. He's had direct involvement in a prominent publicity rights case concerning his client at the time, James Dean. He's going to share us his experience on the case and other landmark cases, if we have time, in America. Hello.
Hello, I am here.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Mr. Faber. First of all, for perhaps some of our younger listeners who may not be aware, can you tell us about this James Dean case and essentially what the case was about?
Yes, and it's been over 10 years now since this was active, but the company at the time where I was the president represents the family of James Dean, and it came to our attention that a prominent company in South Korea, which I believe goes by the name of Good People, Inc., who had a notable personality behind them and on their side as well. I think he was a notable on-air personality or a talk show host. So Good People had started to market James Dean and a line of underwear. And that's the sort of activity that the family of James Dean expects to be compensated for.
Right.
So in South Korea, the problem involved both filing for trademarks, and then Good People had secured some trademark rulings on their side, so the family of James Dean attempted to get trademarks on their side, and there were interim rulings both for and against the family of James Dean and for and against Good People. But in the mix was also a case concerning whether the right of publicity of James Dean is something that could be protected in South Korea. And ultimately, Good People was successful and the family was unsuccessful. So it was frustrating. It was expensive. But it was a complicated and very specific fact pattern. Yeah. And Good People were on the right side of it.
Well, way more than a decade later, even right now, the concept of publicity rights, not quite accepted. There have been a slew of publicity rights lawsuits by Korean celebrities here, most of them unsuccessful. It doesn't seem to be the case in the United States. Can you talk about perhaps one of these landmark cases? Dustin Hoffman, another, I suppose, well-beloved celebrity here in Korea. How did that go?
Of course. There's a saying that bad facts make bad law. And unfortunately for Dustin Hoffman, his case did not fare any better than the James Dean case did in South Korea. But in the United States, Dustin Hoffman brought a claim for an advertisement, where a still image of his character in Tootsie was used.
Mm-hmm.
And, but in the advertisement, the magazine, had fun with it like a fashion spread would, and it said that Dustin Hoffman's character looks ravishing in Ralph Lauren or something to that effect. Those companies that they named were prominent advertisers in the magazine. But the difference, and why I say bad facts make bad law, the difference is it was not traditional advertising. It was actually part of the editorial section of the magazine. And so ultimately, the court in that case ruled that it was not an overt commercial use that touched on his right of publicity being violated, and rather it was a form of editorial speech and that it would be protected from the right of publicity. So Dustin Hoffman won a lower ruling in his favor, but then that was appealed, And in the United States, the concept of the First Amendment
yeah.
was what allowed the publisher ultimately to, you know, not be on the hook for liability. But yes, there are a lot of cases being brought, and it just depends on the fact pattern as to whether it is a true right of publicity situation
hmm.
or if it's something where other interests need to be protected.
Oh, very interesting. I need to leave it there, but Mr. Faber, thank you so much for joining us. Really great discussion, and we certainly learned a lot from you.
Thank you.
That's Jonathan Faber, author of RightOfPublicity.com. He's also the managing partner at Luminary Group, LLC. Now, this is an evolving kind of legal doctrine. Many different places have different ways of approaching it. And as you can see, Korea is a little bit different. But if you want to prevent any possible violations of publicity rights and to actually win a lawsuit, what can you do? Well, in Britain, there's an organization called Icondia Limited that advises on and actually processes the registration of publicity rights. Let's learn more about this process. We have a legal expert from the group joining us on the line, Dr. Angela Adrian. Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you
for having me. Dr. Adrian, your organization uses the term image rights. Could you briefly explain what that is? It does seem to be different from publicity rights, right?
It's very similar to publicity rights, but it's a little bit more comprehensive than publicity rights. An image rights covers your name, your appearance, any of your gestures, any sort of catchphrases you might have, anything about you that you deem is important as an aspect of your personality.
Do you feel that this personality right should not just be limited to the David Beckhams of the world, right? You feel even an average
Correct.
Joe like myself might have this right. But, I mean, for someone like myself who doesn't seem to have a problem with online shopping malls using my image or anything, why would I be interested in protecting it?
Well, it depends on what those online shopping malls are using your image for.
Right.
If you're buying things that you would like to be seen to
sure.
be buying, then I imagine you have no problem. But what if your image was being used, showing buying things that you don't want to be seen to be buying or you don't want to support? There's lots of people whose image is suddenly attached in a way or used in a way that they never agreed to or they don't want to be associated with. Those things that, for example, if you're very against guns and you're seen to be buying guns in a shop, and it might have been photoshopped in it, your image into this picture, you could stop that from happening.
Now, if one is interested in protecting your image and your personality, you can, I suppose, in the UK, this is not the case in Korea, you can register your image or publicity. How exactly does the process go in doing that?
It's a very, very simple process. You call us up. We set you up with an application for the Guernsey Registry, and we help you fill in the form. We ensure that nobody has any competing rights. For example, if you signed up and waived your rights to your image for a certain company if you were a small child and your parents said, okay, you can use my child's image for the cereal commercial.
Right.
We'll say, okay, then we'll go back to the cereal company and say, hello, we want to let you know, put you on notice, that that this image of this child is now registered. And we do all the background and to ensure that nobody has any conflicting rights, previous rights. And we submit that to the registrar and they double check it. And you're now registered.
Is it similar to copyrights as far as the renewal process goes? How long do we have these protections last?
It's a 10-year length of time, and then you can renew indefinitely. Very similar to a trademark.
Okay, well, very good. Dr. Adrian, thank you very much for your time and for joining us.
Thank you.
That was Dr. Angela Adrian from Icondia. This is a company in the UK that actually registers image rights of people, not just the famous people, but even people like you and I. All right, we're going to be joining now our in-studio panelists. They've been listening to what our panelists from overseas have been saying, Professor Hwang Jong-wook and Professor An Jun-sung. Professor An, just want to get your initial reactions to what you just heard. Anything interesting pop out at you?
Yeah, bad facts make bad law.
And you were noting how you remember that case very well, right? From you said it was in the late 1990s.
Yeah, it was right, a big issue about because Ju Byung-jin was the CEO. She was very popular, like, the celebrity. So, well, I guess, U.S. law, the First Amendment is really,
Right.
Controlling, right, for many cases. And I guess the defendant was quite smart. I'm using, for the Dawson Hoffman case was very also interesting because they put in, editorial section. So it depends on how you make argument, right? So it's very interesting. See, and about the UK case is very also interesting. And I wonder how you define the image. Ten-year-old image or 10 years ago, or
Sure. Maybe
you have a plastic surgeon, right? Sometimes,
right.
You will get all the image or only thing you registered, or as of application day. I just wondering how really they enforce it actually in reality.
Professor Hwang, anything stand out to you from what you heard with these two experts?
Right, I just want to follow up on the First Amendment issue. That is, for those of you who don't know the U.S. Constitution, First Amendment refers to free speech, right? And it's really interesting in how in the U.S., in the Dustin Hoffman case, how the free speech right sort of trumped Dustin Hoffman's publicity, right? And that sort of illustrates the problem, difficulty in transplanting this legal concept in Korea, where, right now we don't have the publicity right statutorily, but moreover, the free speech right is not that strongly protected in Korea, especially if you just think about criminal defamation cases. The free speech is often not a good defense. So, you sort of have to take into account the different legal landscape of different countries.
0871 saying through text message that publicity rights do need to be protected. Famous people's images often represent public power and money to ordinary people, so we shouldn't use it without permission as well. And if we talk about the cases that we highlighted from Mr. Faber about the James Dean, their estate, their family, opposed to what they were doing with the James Dean underwear, and of course the Dustin Hoffman issue as well, is that regardless of if they were unsuccessful in those lawsuits, if you care about the image of Korea abroad, it doesn't reflect very well on Korea, right? As a bastion of the protectors of intellectual property, necessarily, no?
Well, I suppose I have a slightly different idea in the sense that, from Jonathan Faber's point of view, yes, you have this publicity rights in the U.S. and you would like to enforce it around the world, but that's coming from the U.S. legal perspective. U.S. law doesn't reach beyond the U.S. borders. To come to Korea where there is no law on publicity rights and try to enforce it, I think, that just gets into kind of tough international legal issues.
As far as Korea is concerned, can you, you mentioned it briefly going on. There's some pending legislation going on. Can you talk about the bill itself and maybe the prospects of passage?
Sure. It's a really brand new bill that's really pending at the National Assembly. It was introduced by Saenuri Party's National Assemblyman, Kil Jong-woo. And if passed, this will explicitly recognize the publicity right. They coined a new Korean term. It's called, Inkyok Poyeonbap, which is sort of the Korean translation of the term publicity right. Since so far the media sort of used the anglicized pronunciation of publicity right in the Korean press. So basically it will explicitly recognize this right, but some details in the law kind of made me suspect that maybe there was some lobbying going on from the various entertainment industry insiders. For example, the law recognized the publicity right for 30 years after you're dead. And two, you can actually transfer it, you can inherit it. So it's not really...
You feel it's a bit too odious, then?
There's a parallel argument, debate that has been going on in the U.S. where copyright has been overly protected, where they just, in a few years ago, they actually lengthened the amount of protection period for copyright after the writer's death. And I think that sort of is going on in Korea. It hasn't really come to a big debate, but I suspect, the JYPs and SMs of the world would love to see the long period of protection applied to the new publicity right.
And if it does get passed, do you think this changes the game, or do you think it's...
Well, I mean, we can talk more with Professor Arno about these actual cases, but, you know, this is just a law, but when it actually gets implemented, really depends a lot on how judges interpret the law with the actual facts. So I think we'll need to see for a couple of years of worth of lawsuits and decisions to see how things shake out.
Well, Professor Arno, you detailed the Suji case, some of the other prominent celebrity cases, including Kim Sana case and Song Hye-kyo case.
Right.
Let's say this is in legislation. We don't know what the priority of the National Assembly is right now, whether this is going to be issue number one. This is like the Kim Young-nan law, right? We've got to get this passed right now. But in the meantime, if you were a management company executive chairman, and you have all these pretty little idol stars under your wing.
Like JYP?
Yeah, yeah. Like, let's say if you were an SM or a JYP. Right. How would you do, what would you do as far as celebrities and how they can protect themselves right now?
Well, I guess, I mean, as of today, you don't have any statutory protection or you haven't any Supreme Court case yet, right? So I think the only way you can just enhance your situation is like strength is keep swinging. I mean, otherwise, I mean, you're sending message actually. If you swing the public, right, release, or we sue them, you know, blah, blah, Suji appeal, and you know, Song Hye-kyo appeal, right, and everybody appeal. So you're sending some message to the public and also the court, right? Well, this is serious, you know, business to us, something. And perhaps they should have some public campaign. Please, just like copyright, right? Please do not download illegal or something, you know? Please protect our, you know, likeness, for us, I guess. But the problem was the, I don't know about how the general public will buy it, you know. Mm. That's a really big difference because a very small fraction of population will be, you know, benefit from this, you know, legislation, right?
Yeah, and isn't that the point, Professor Huang? We're not talking about, like, the Amore Pacifics or these Samsung Electronics kind of products where they're spending a lot of money to get celebrities to endorse their products. Often, you know, we talked about the chattel versus the small mom and pops. These online stores that are doing this, they're essentially
That's kind of
online mom and pops, right?
Absolutely.
They're not the big conglomerates, and they're kind of just using stock photos that they find on the web that it matches their product, and they're putting it out there. These kind of tactics, I suppose, could work for some people, right? These kind of cease and desist kind of scary letters coming from lawyers.
That has been happening, and there's been news reports about, you know, these cease and desist letters coming from law firms asking for quick settlements. And if you're a mom and pop store, you don't know the law, you don't want to go to the law, so you might be willing to settle for, you know, quick $1,000 or $2,000. And for some lawyers and some other unscrupulous, you know, legal brokers, this is actually a viable business model, especially because right now the state of Korean law is quite, you know, murky at best. On the other hand, you know, the images of these celebrities, it does entail a lot of dollars. Just recently, you know, Suji, since we've been talking about Suji, there was a big, you know, news about her dating another big idol star, Imino.
Yes.
And what I wasn't really interested in that news, but what I was interested in was that JYP's stock price actually plunged big time when that news broke. So, you know, like, protecting the images of these celebrities is a really important asset for companies like JYP, SM, and YG. So, you know, it is an issue that they'll really lobby hard to the National Assembly.
In that sense, do you think because of the economic power now that we're seeing, especially with the post-Gangnam style era and all these celebrities, not just, you know, an online shopping mall is not just accessible here in Korea now that ActiveX is gone. Guys from Africa or South America or Europe, they can log on to that same small online shopping mall and see that Song Hye-kyo earring with the Oh Young character and go, oh my gosh, I love that drama. I'm going to buy that specific earring. And so I suppose there needs to be something done, right, regardless of where you stand on the law itself.
Absolutely. And, you know, SMs and JYPs of the world will definitely be interested. And it'll be sort of like, you know, Disney in the U.S. They really work hard to enforce their IP. They have armies of lawyers literally canvassing the world, trying to see is anybody using our Mickey Mouse logo in an inappropriate way. And, you know, in some ways, that is one way to look at it is respecting their investments. But on the other hand, you do have to worry about restricting people's right to expressions. And also, you also have to sort of think about mom and pop stores getting into big legal troubles.
Right. Professor Arno, if you could predict what's going to happen, we don't know whether this bill is going to pass anytime soon, but eventually, what do you think is going to happen with publicity rights in Korea?
Actually, So my view is like I have concern actually, and whatever happened, if any law passed, because I've seen many bad cases about the copyright, you know, cases misuse, you know, or protect, you know, they use it as the, because if you get copyright infringement in Korea, you can get criminal penalty.
Right.
So just kind of some people using their tactic, right? Kind of a threatened criminal penalty against some like high school kid, right? Just,
yeah.
You know, some, you know, just cutting something from somewhere. So my concern is that no matter what happened, that there shouldn't be too much, you know, criminal aspect on this. And because it's only commercial use of something, I guess that should be, we should find some consensus on how far we can go to the, you know, we should come up with some kind of limitation.
Yeah, it is interesting because, as Professor Huang had pointed out, if we see that the provisions include 30 years, even their heirs, we could have potentially even Suji's grandchildren, right?
Yep,
be beneficiaries,
right,
of any type of a legal action. 0871 saying it's going to be harder to avoid any claims with these violations because of FTAs, like that controversial ISD clause in like the Chorus FTA. We won't have to address that, but Professor Huang, give us your final thoughts. Maybe what do you think is going to happen here in Korea with publicity rights? Because obviously we're talking about it, and it is a rising issue.
Well, first of all, I mean, it's not a politically sensitive issue for the National Assembly, as if you hear the political news, I mean, you can sort of feel that for the National Assembly probably ranks on the bottom of their priority list. So it's not something that, you know, they're going to work hard or work less or really care a lot about, but there are particular interest groups that are really interested, right? I mean, lawyers and agents representing celebrities and these, you know, entertainment companies like SM and JYP. On the other hand, you know, the groups that might be adversely affected, mom and pop stores or you know, the innocent users of these images who might be affected. We don't really have representation like that at a National Assembly.
Okay.
So I do fear that the law will probably pass, but it may have some onerous provisions.
Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us. A great discussion. Always appreciate your expertise. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Professor Huang's and on. Before I say goodbye, just really briefly, we have an annual listenership survey at TBS EFM. We want to hear your thoughts, what you like, what you don't like, all to improve the programs. Go to our website, tbsefm.seoul.kr, and you can sign up on the upper right side of the page. It'll take less than 5 minutes to complete the survey. And, of course, we will very much be looking for your thoughts. You have until April 22nd. We do have to say goodbye. Hope you enjoyed the program. We'll see you again tomorrow. My name is Henry Shin. Good night.